A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. Between now and 8, we'll have a look ahead to some of the main sporting events in the Northwest this coming weekend. There's plenty happening. There are a couple of important club matches and Gaelic games here in Donegal this weekend. That's at under 21 level. And what about Niamh Connell? Their march to a potential Ulster title continues, and the performances of their captain Kieran Thompson will be honoured this weekend when he receives the Gradam Seamus McGeady at Donegal GA's annual awards banquet. We'll hear from Kieran later in the programme. As well as that, we'll have athletics. Marathon medal winner Paddy Ward is in studio with us this evening. And there's soccer too. Nigel Ferry of the Donegal League is among my guests tonight. And it's a big weekend ahead too at intermediate level with both Bunnaggy United and Cockhill Celtic in FAA Intermediate Cup action. And in a busy studio, I have Jason Gibson, the Bunnaggy United's manager here. You're all very welcome along, gentlemen, to The Score. Jason, you've probably given the lads the night off from training so that you could join us tonight, have you?
I'm just going down to join them, Jeremy. It's 7:30 we start, so...
Right.
We'll get down to see how we're all fixed for the weekend.
Okay, well, we'll not keep you too long. Cockhill host Middleton this weekend. Bunnaggy play another Cork side in the form of Lakewood. Jason, what kind of a challenge are they going to present?
Being honest, we only know about them what we can see, I suppose, online, their league table, and they've kind of had a mixed start. They've been scoring lots of goals, probably conceding a few as well. They've won 4 and lost 4 in the league campaign. They're actually second division in Cork. So look, it's, I suppose, kind of a wee bit unknown we're getting into, but I can't imagine they'll know too much about us either.
Yeah, and this is your second season now as manager with Bunnaggy. Last year you led them to the national stages as well in this competition. Unfortunately, came up against a very good Middleton side.
Yeah. In fairness, on the day they were much stronger. Like, it was kind of an eye opener for us at that stage. It was early in the season, and I suppose, as I was saying last year, it was a new group, and it definitely gave us an indication where we were at that stage. Now you would hope that a year on like that, our boys are better prepared, and hopefully we can give a better account of ourselves this weekend.
Yeah, and looking at how things have gone for you in the early part of this season, that would suggest that you have improved things out there, Jason, in terms of your squad, the player, that the team is playing well. You've got good results. First defeat of the season last weekend against Cockhill Celtic, so not a bad start to the campaign.
No, we're relatively happy. Like, as I say, it's hasn't been going well in recent weeks. Like, it's kind of hard to get a settled team out with, you know, few injuries niggling there, like Sir Garvin and Chris Breen, and that's been carrying stuff, and Jamie Lynan and stuff, and a couple of suspensions as well, which doesn't help. So, like, I mean, if we could get a settled side out, we're disappointed with last weekend. Like, obviously going to Cockhill, it's one of the big games in the season, but, you know, as I say, we're still in all competitions. We're semi-final of the League Cup, we're in the quarter-final of the Knockala, we're obviously in the intermediate this weekend. So, no, look, we're taking loads of positives, and as I say, we're firing on all fronts.
Yeah, so you had Letterkenny Rovers a couple of weeks ago, Cockhill Celtic last weekend, and Lakewood this weekend, this Saturday. So three big games in the space of three weekends, Jason, and FA Intermediate Cup. I mean, there's always a bit of a buzz about things when the cup comes along.
Yeah, look, it's big matches, but that's where you want to be playing. It's as simple as that. And the Intermediate Cup's the same. Like, you're kind of representing the county at the national stage. I mean, Letterkenny obviously have been doing it of late in recent years. But it's you know, it's a welcome distraction, and as I say, it's good exposure for the club. Like, tomorrow, Saturday evening, 4:00, hopefully it's not clashing with too much else, and hopefully we can get a crowd out. And as I say, it's always good to be playing at the national stage.
Yeah, well, you're training later on tonight. How are things on that front? How are you fixed player-wise? Sean Heumann, Jordan Armstrong available again? I think they were suspended.
Yeah, they were suspended last weekend, and we lost young Dan O'Donnell on Sunday morning. Obviously, it was a bit of a tragedy in Arnmore, and I don't think Dan will be back in this weekend either. We just, whatever time Dan needs to get back at it. So we're probably going to be missing Dan. Mark Harkin's unavailable this weekend, so we have the other lads to come in. And in fairness, you know, in recent weeks with injury suspensions, etc., we've been bringing in lads. You know, the likes of young Peter Kerr coming in from the 18s has done excellent. Chris Flanagan has come in there. Duncan Patterson has come in, had minutes as well, and they've done well. And, you know, it's going to be a long season when you're playing all these competitions. You're going to need a squad. So, as I say, it's give them lads opportunities. So,
and you're on the national stage now at a FA Intermediate Cup level. A home draw is what you always want, Jason. So the hope would be that, that perhaps Bunnygee can put a bit of a run together, and if things go their way this weekend, you could kick on from then. You never know how far you could go in this competition.
No, exactly. I mean, that this you get into the last 16, and that gets you in turn into the Senior Cup, and which kicks in kind of at the tail end of the season. So, as I say, you just never know. You get another home draw against, you know, as I say, a side that you're maybe not one of the stronger ones on it, and you're into a quarter final, and you just take it game by game.
Okay, well, we're going to join Coghill Celtics player manager Gavin Cullen on the line after this commercial break. And you're welcome back to The Score, 16 minutes past 7 on a Thursday evening. Earlier on today, there was action in the McCrory Cup in Gaelic games, another group game for St Union's College of Letterkenny, but a narrow defeat for them against St Pat's of Cavan in Dromore, where it finished St Pat's 3 goals and 10 points, St Union's 2 goals and 9 points. I'm joined on the line now by Coghill Celtic player manager Gavin Cullen. Gavin, a very good evening to you.
Good evening, Dermot. How's things?
I'm good, Gavin. Another big weekend ahead for Coghill Celtic. Your reward for defeating Letterkenny Rovers in the last round in the FAI Intermediate Cup is a home tie in the national stage's third round tie it is this weekend. But Middleton, Gavin, won't make things easy, no doubt.
No, it certainly won't. First and foremost, you know, you look for a home draw in competitions like this, and that's huge. Then you look at the opposition, and looking at Middleton over the last few years, they've done really well. As Jason said earlier, they beat Bunnygee well last year, and by all accounts, they're a very, very good side. They won the Munster Senior League in 2018, so it takes a decent side to do that at that level. So, but we won't be counting no chickens, and we'll take them at face value and try and give a good account of ourselves, you know.
Yeah, because Coghill Celtic really want to make an impression on the national stage, Gavin. You've been the dominant club at Ulster Senior League level for so many years now, but you know you really should be doing better in the FAI Intermediate Cup, and perhaps this season is going to be that season.
Yeah, look we all want to do well in every competition we enter. There's no 2 years about that. We set our stall at the start of the season to try and win leagues, which thankfully we've been doing over the last 7-8 years, incredibly so. In cup competitions, and especially this cup competition, it's very, very draw-related and timing of year, and so many variances on the pitch and off the pitch that can make a difference. But we have been disappointed, there's no doubt about it. We haven't come across a team in the 7-8 years that we said, yeah, they're better than us, they deserve to go through. So it has been one of them things, but at the same time, you know, we've been extremely happy with how we've done over the last while, and we are at this moment in time. To see this team now this year with so many new players, sort of, well, the pressure's on them to do well in this competition. I don't think it is, because, as I say, there is a lot of change, a lot of new players, but at the same time, you know, we want to do well in it.
Okay, the quality of the line's not the best there, but we'll stick with it, Gavin. I was going to mention the fact that your side this season, again, every season you're changing things about. Players are moving on, some moving up to senior level. But again, you seem to have got a squad together, Gavin, that's pretty strong, pretty experienced, and plenty of talent in there.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's plenty of talent. I think we're probably the least experienced we've been in the right few years. We've brought in a lot of young lads, but young lads with a lot of ability. So, like, I'm enjoying working with them. I'm looking forward to working with them throughout the year. And I think they will get better at our club, but I think they'll improve as players, you know.
Yeah, and another big game this weekend then. A 2 o'clock start on Sunday, Gavin. Hopefully there'll be a big crowd there to see you guys in action.
Hopefully. It's actually a 12 o'clock kickoff, so it is. Middleton wanted it earlier on Sunday, so it's actually kicking off at 12 on Sunday.
Okay.
Hopefully it'll be a big crowd, and hopefully it's a good spectacle and it's a good morning for a game. I'm sure it'll be a good tight game.
Well, listen, Gavin, you've had a great start to this season, and hopefully you can continue this Sunday. Best luck against Middleton and Watson. Another big day for Coghill.
Cheers. Thanks very much, Jeremy. Thank you.
Okay, Gavin Cullen there, player manager of Coghill Celtic. Jason, both Donegal sides, both Ulster Senior League sides having home advantage this weekend, so there's nothing to suggest that both Bunnygee and Coghill Celtic can't go further in this competition.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case on Sunday evening after their game. Hopefully that's you know, you're representing the league in the county. So, as I say, we'd like to both progress. So Big weekend for Gavin. It must be, I think it's his birthday today, so
well, there you are.
Must be his 40th at least at this stage. So he's going to be nearly ready to hang them up at this stage.
There you go. Well, listen, you got to see them up close and personal last weekend as well. They're a good side.
They are a good side. They haven't had the best of starts this year, Middleton, strangely enough, but look, maybe it'll be a distraction for them this weekend. As I say, they were serious outfit last year. Now they were a step above us, and Gavin will be familiar with a few of their players because a few of them represented Munster in the under-provincials there recently, so
yeah,
he'll know a few of them, like, so, as I say. But hopefully, as I say, we both progress. It'll be great for the league if we do.
Yeah. Well, if you're only joining us here on The Score tonight, it's Jeremy Doherty here, and I'm joined in studio by Nigel Ferry of the Donegal League, Jason Gibson, who you've been hearing from there from Bunnygee United, and Paddy Ward, member of Letterkenny AC and marathon medal winner from a couple of weekends ago at the Dublin City Marathon. We'll be chatting to Paddy later on in the programme, but Nigel and Jason are going to stay with us. Nigel, you're welcome along, by the way.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Busy times in the Donegal League, I suppose. First place to start, Oscar Traynor Cup competition up and running last weekend. Good result for the Donegal League, although still very much all to play for going into the second leg against the Inishowen League.
Yeah, very much so. It's still very much in the balance, Jeremy. You know, a win's a win at any time. You know, you'll always take a win, even be it a slender win, you know, but pretty much similar to Jason's talking about there. And Inishowen are a serious side as well. You know, they're good players, quality all over the park. So it'll be a tough ask for us going down to McGinn next week to come away with the result to progress any further in this competition.
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing, though, the way things have ended up this year with that competition, Nigel. Just Inishowen and Donegal, and the only sides in that group, there's no Sligo Leitrim, no Mayo. So it's really going to be a case of one from two to qualify.
Yeah, again, it wasn't something we wanted. We were in favour of remaining with the four county group stage, because it give you more games. The way it is now, you're only guaranteed two games, and it's very, very hard for any manager to take on a county outfit when the carrot's only two games. The old system, you were guaranteed at least three, possibly even four games. So even for us as a league to try to get players to play in it, it's not as attractive when it's a knockout doubleheader. You know, we've been calling for a massive overhaul in this competition for years, but just seems to be falling deaf ears in Dublin, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a great occasion last weekend as well, you know, playing under the floodlights at the Diamond Park in Ballyar. Great facilities there, Nigel. You must be very proud.
Yeah, we are. I mean, that was one of the key things that we had to, decisions we took a number of years ago. We were always left to the situation, especially when it came to our representative matches, where we were asking clubs, and we were very thankful to Bunnygees and the Dromahalls and the Gador Celtics and all these other ones that facilitated us when we were looking for a place to play them. But the goal always was to get back to our own base. And unfortunately, the surface in Ballyar just wasn't suitable for winter football up until the refurbishment was completed there. And thanks be to God, now we've got a state-of-the-art facility down there and something that we're very proud of as a league. And it's nice to be able to show it off to other leagues coming to play representative games as well. So we're delighted with the outcome.
Yeah, and I was speaking to you before we came on air. The Donegal League were able to lift a few pound this week as well in these latest round of funds that were announced for your facilities in Ballyar.
Yeah, and again, we're very, very thankful to Minister Joe McHugh for his assistance in this. This is the second time we've got money from the Sports Capital. We were fortunate enough last year to get funding, 83,000 2 years ago, for the floodlighting system down in Ballyar. And I think anybody that's seen them and has played under the lights down there will agree that they are top notch, they're top quality, they're very, very high spec. And hopefully this tranche of money we got another 40,000, close to 40,000 there last week. It'll be used to resurface our AstroTurf pitch down there, which again has been, anybody that's down there during the week, is extensively used between young and old, male and female, boys and girls, from Sunday to Sunday every week. So it's well used, it's well worn out, and it's in big need of repair anyway.
Yeah. So at this stage, we're into late November now, Nigel. The Donegal League season is well up and running. Things going okay? I mean, you've had plenty of league games, but plenty of cup matches as well. So everything.
Yeah, going good. Yeah, going good. Go on track, Jeremy. Premier Division, maybe, you know, it, as is the case every year, there's a lot of interruptions with cup competitions, and invariably, as cup competitions progress, it's always your Premier Division clubs that are still playing in them, you know. So that might be a little bit slow. There's only four or five games for some clubs played out of a total of 18 games in the Premier. But even at that, we'll be happy enough that this side of Christmas we will still be, you know, close to halfway through our fixtures. Most clubs should have maybe 7 or 8 fixtures played before the Christmas break. So we'd be happy enough that we're on track. And some clubs going very, very well in the Premier. I mean, it seems to be developing into not so much a two-horse race, but there's two definitely pulling away, and there's 3 or 4 more looking over the shoulders. But Capri and Kilmacrennan both have started off really, really well. You know, all maximum points after 5 games. So.
And obviously the Premier Division is one of 3 divisions that are played on a Sunday. Then you have the 2 Saturday leagues. But one thing I always notice, Nigel, it's particularly in the Premier Division, it's a title that's never easily retained. I mean, we've had so many different winners of the league title in the Donegal Premier Division over the recent seasons. You think Castlefin Celtic, Kildrum Tigers, Glen Eagh United, and then other clubs as well. And as you say now this season, it's Kilmacrennan and Capri Rovers who are leading the charge.
Well, I think it's always been competitive, you know, and that's probably one of the strengths of the Premier Division there. You never know from season to season who's going to be the team to beat. But these two teams this year, Capri and Kilmacrennan, really are throwing down a marker early season. I mean, to go 5 games at the start of your league campaign and have 5 wins opens up a substantial gap on mid-table teams, and that's, you know, that's setting the standard this year. So there's a couple of teams behind them there. Kildrum, Drumkeen, Bonagee are still not out of it, but they need to be winning games. Whereas it's the teams that can win matches rather than draw matches that put a little bit of distance between themselves and the next one. So those two have started off really strong.
Yeah,
and they're scoring goals as well. I mean, Capri have 20 goals scored in 5 games. You know, and they're even the Brian McCormick Cup games they played in, I think they averaged 16. They scored 16 goals in 3 games, so they're banging in an average nearly 5 goals a match, which is
some going.
Yeah.
And in Division 2 then on the Sunday, a new addition this year to the Donegal League, a welcome addition no doubt, Swillie Rovers, Jason's old club.
Yes.
I'm sure you're happy to see them back.
Listen, delighted to see Swillie. You know, I mean, we'll welcome them maybe back to the Donegal League. Swillie Rovers were one of the founder members of the Donegal League, and they found life difficult there last couple of years in the Ulster Senior League. They're back down now. They're playing, you know, they're out of the 6 games, they've won 5 of them again. So, I mean, it must be a long time since Swillie had that bit of a buzz about the town as well to go on a run at that, and they're top of the table, so they'll be delighted themselves with the start that they've made, and I'm sure it's generating a lot of local interest for them as well down in Remelton that they've made such a positive start to their campaign back in junior football.
You're a former manager, Jason. Any thoughts on that? I mean, is that the right decision for Swillie?
Look, if I felt it at the stage that it happened, it had to happen. Yeah, and Dave, you know, I've always said there's no town in the county, you know, that has better potential than Swillie Rovers. And as I say, they've regrouped now. They seem Freddie's a local man, well liked, and he seems to have got the squad together down there. And I would fancy them to either go on and win that division, or possibly, well, you have Rafoe up there as well, who are going very well in White Strand. But you know, it's only going to be healthy for them. I think they'll progress out of that division this year, and I believe they're getting good crowds. Haven't got down yet. John Diver keeps telling me that the crowds is coming out. He can exaggerate the numbers at times, mind you, but he's saying that the locals are coming out and backing the team, and that can only be healthy. And I think they got funding there in that last round of capital funding as well. So I believe there's maybe pitch developments, you know, upcoming as well, so that's something that's badly needed there as well. So, look, it's a massive club. Do you know what I mean? They've massive potential down there. So hopefully they get it right now, regrouping and build from bottom up again. Hopefully,
yeah. But then looking at it from the Ulster Senior League's point of view, Jason, and you're a member of the league's executive as well. I mean, all of a sudden down to 6 clubs. I know that approaches have been made to the Donegal League and the Inishowen League about maybe inviting clubs up and to make that step up to the intermediate grade. So when you see how things are going at junior level and how well things are going from season to season, I mean, is it difficult for the Ulster Senior League to keep going in the current format?
Yeah, look, it's difficult with 6 teams, and I suppose the Donegal League and the Inishowen League have strength in numbers as well. You know, as I say, we can't force anybody up into it. We're hoping that, you know, a club that, you know, maybe a Kilmacrennan this year, a fantastic side, Capri or whatever, and they want to, you know, have a go at it and they fancy their chances of going and competing at our level, we'll chat to anybody that obviously wants to come into the league. as I say, we've looked at other options as well as in regarding the cross-border competition and stuff like that. We've spoken to Sligo Rovers reserves kind of last season, so that's supposedly to take place now in January again. So we have to look at all the angles to try and, you know, have our leagues survive and, you know, intermediate football to be sustained in the county. Personally speaking, maybe not from a league point of view, I think that, you know, we all should be round a table in Donegal discussing football across the board. And that's right from the top to the bottom. Schoolboys, it's always been a gripe of mine that there's too many committees involved in football. You know, I suppose if you look at the county board model, where I think they have the top committee and then subcommittees below it, you know, it's all under the one umbrella. You know, we don't have any more numbers in Donegal, probably clubs-wise or players-wise, than what the Gaelic model has, but we have God knows how many committees we have running football in the county.
Fair point, Nigel.
I totally agree with them. I would have been said similar at any meetings I've been at before as well, Dermot. And that was one of my, you know, on my own personal views about developing Ballyar. I always seen it as a development for the whole of the county, you know, for schoolboy football, schools football, ladies football, junior football, intermediate football. Anybody that wants to use it, it should be the showcase. And as Jason quite rightly says, we should have one committee, one structured body within the county, running all strands of football within Donegal. And it could only just improve the game, I think.
Yeah. Because in fairness to the committees that are there, at all levels of the game and in all parts of Donegal, they're all doing, you know, their own wee bit. It's all voluntary work. The facilities that are out there suggest that there's something good happening. The standard within the game in Donegal continues to improve. And, you know, in that respect, things are working out okay, but there are issues there that need addressing.
Yeah, and I think you know, there's fantastic people and all the committees, you know, there's great levels of experience and, you know, expertise and every single structure, whether it's ladies football, schoolboys football, intermediate football, junior football. And if you could put all those together working for the same aim, you know, it's maybe we're not doing ourselves any favours by having too many people split up. You know, a more joined up way going forward would definitely benefit football going forward.
Maybe we should just have a score special some night on a quiet night over winter, and maybe get yous back in, and we'll have a proper chat about it. But Nigel, before we finish up, another busy weekend ahead at junior level in terms of Donegal League fixtures. I think the Ulster Junior Cup is on this weekend as well. So again, a mixture of league and cup.
League and cup, yeah. Probably there's not that many league games. It's mostly junior cup and those kind of ones on again this weekend. So full program again, Dermot. Everything's going. Everything's going good as far as we're concerned at this stage in November, on schedule to have, you know, we'll be breaking, I'd say, in maybe another 4 weeks left of three, 4 weeks left of football this side of Christmas, and hopefully we should be in a better position to know who's main contenders in each of them in the cups.
Okay, listen, appreciate your time, Nigel. I know you have to head off, and Jason, you've got training tonight, so we'll say good evening to you. Paddy Ward is still with us, and we're going to join up with Paddy and have a wee chat with him in a wee while. But for now, we're going to take another quick commercial break.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Now stocking the new Donegal Nevis GAA range. Shop in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score. In ladies Gaelic football, the Leinster Championship has been scrapped ahead of the 2020 All-Ireland Ladies Football Championship. Instead, the All-Ireland Series will be comprised of two groups of six, with the top two in each group progressing to the semi-finals. The remaining provincial championships, by the way, will be played on a knockout basis, with the winners seeded in the All-Ireland Series. This weekend here in Donegal, well, it's quietening down, isn't it, in terms of fixtures? But there are games at under 21 level. There's an under 21B final on Saturday at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny, a 1 o'clock throw in for Termon against St. Noel's. And at the same time, down at Eamon Byrne Memorial Park in Fintra, Killybegs host Neve Connell in an under-21A semi-final. And there's an under-21 hurling semi-final taking place as well. Cairndonagh playing Dunloe at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Well, on Saturday night, Donegal GAA's annual awards banquet will be held in Donegal Town, and Niamh Connell's Kieran Thompson was yesterday named as the winner of Gradam Seamus Fagidi. That's the Player of the Year award in terms of the Donegal Senior Club Championship. Kieran Thompson, captain of the Niamh Connell side, who won the Donegal Senior Championship this season, of course, and are looking forward to an Ulster Senior Final against Kilcoo on Sunday week. And Kieran has been speaking to Tom Comack, and he said it's an honour to win the Gradam Seamus Fagidi for 2019, and he's also been speaking about that forthcoming game against Kilcoo.
Privileged to receive that award, you know, on behalf of such a prestigious man in Donegal GAA, you know, so I'm just delighted, and I thank my teammates for it too, you know. I'd say it was only a flip of a coin, you know, between a few of them who were excellent all year, so just thank them for everything.
What has it been like since you went across and lifted the Dr. Maguire Cup in McCool Park after that marathon session with Guido Orr, as captain, as a young man?
Listen, it was one of the best days there of my career, definitely, and it's just been unbelievable, you know, the euphoria in the town now, the last couple of weeks since that, it's just been brilliant, and the community spirit really has come to the fore, you know, and it's just unbelievable to see that, and see the young bucks there as well, you know, looking up on the team, you know, and hopefully drive them now for in the coming years as well.
Yeah. And of course, it's not that very long ago since you were a young buck looking up as well. You were doing that in 2010 when they were last in the final in Ulster.
That's it. I was a young buck myself back then in 2010.
What age were you then?
I was 15. So it was just coming in near the minor grade and that, you know, so that was definitely a big bearing on my football as well and my aspirations, seeing Anthony lift the Maguire in 2010.
Where's your brother Anthony?
My brother Anthony in 2010, yeah, lift the Maguire. So and I suppose they were only kick a ball away as well in the Ulster final, so there were big moments for Niamh Connell, and this is another big moment for us now this year as well, so hopefully it all goes well.
And it was a big time for the Thompson family as well, wasn't it? Because Leon was on the team and Aaron was in the squad.
That's it, exactly. Yeah, it was. They were brilliant times, you know, for our family, and they were special times. You know, mum and dad there would have been supremely proud of that. And again, this year as well with Anthony and Aaron involved as well. So it's just brilliant times for our family.
So Anthony was captain, and you're captain now.
That's it. I had took over the leadership, I suppose, from him. So hopefully, I can go one better than him than he did in 2010. It'll be a nice lift.
You couldn't really think of Ulster and you won Donegal, could you?
No, that's it. I think we were actually fourth favourites, you know, when we were in the semi-final stage. So, listen, we knew we had the team, we knew we had the players there, and we knew we had the panel. We've made a lot of substitutions in every game, you know, and they've come in to do a job. And listen, we weren't looking past Donegal. It's a supremely hard championship to win. And once we got over the line there, you know, we were just absolutely delighted. And I think then you can really focus on Ulster then, because it really is wide open.
And is it kind of the pressure off a bit as well when in the early stages and all
sorts? That's it. Listen, Donegal's a lot of cagey football, you know, and teams are nearly going out not to lose rather than win, so just getting into Ulster's, it's an added bonus, and you really do open out and start to play good football then as well.
That was a brilliant performance, probably one of the Niamh Connell's best in a long time last Saturday night against Clontibret.
That's it. I think as a collective we were very good, you know, and keeping Clontibret defensively to our 3 points in the first half was just brilliant on our behalf. So it was a good team performance, definitely, and we're just every game now, I think we're getting more into it as well.
Going in now against Kilcoo, do you know much about them? Obviously, you know, they've been there and thereabout. They've been in Ulster for the last 8 or 9 years, bar I think last year.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, they've won maybe 7 or 8 championships there and down in the last 10 years. So they're a supremely brilliant side, and they're going to be a huge opposition, you know, in the final. And it's going to be a tough battle. They'll go into the game as favourites, and rightly so. But
listen, you see them against Derry-Connolly?
I seen them. I just watched them on TV myself. I suppose it was a tight, cagey match, you know that, but they did come through it. I think they got the goal and they pushed on then, you know, and you could see that Diet, they do have a lot of talent in their teams. The two Johnsons are brilliant players. You know, Conor Laverty there, full forward, he's a very experienced player, and they have a lot of all-round good players there that really will cause us problems. So it's just important now. We've our homework done on them and hopefully go into it with good preparation.
Your brother Anthony said to me after the county final when we were talking, he says, and we've a good team too.
That's it, exactly. Yes, we've been written off by the media now and everyone else in the county as well the last number of years, but no, we knew ourselves in the circle, you know, in the Neve Connell circle, that we had the players, we had the management team as well. So no, we are a good team too.
More attack minded this year, would that be fair to say?
Aye, definitely. I think we definitely focused on that a lot more. I think
you still have the defence like watertight.
That's it, yeah. I think we definitely focused on the attack more, and we had the two boys inside, big Kieran and big Charlie as well, which gave us a bit of an aerial threat, so that caused teams a lot of different problems as well. And defensively we were sound as well, you know, just boys there that just really, it's, it really is just hard work, you know, and really just putting in the hard yards in the match, and it's just a credit to play alongside them.
As we said, 2010 come up short, back again with quite a few of that team still there.
That's it. I think there's six still involved, you know, and I suppose in 2010 losing to Cross McLean, it wasn't anything to be ashamed of, you know. They're a top team, and listen, if we end up losing to Kilcoo as well, there'll be no shame either, because they're another top team. You're not going to get any easy games in Ulster, but I think we have that experience and we have that youthful energetic exuberance as well within the team, so we're definitely going to give it a good rattle.
Kieran Thompson there in conversation with Tom Comack. Kieran is enjoying a fantastic season, a wonderful midfielder for Neve Connell, and best of luck to them in that Ulster final on Sunday week. Next week, Tom will no doubt be previewing that Ulster final on his GA programme on Wednesday night, and we'll also be looking ahead to that big day for Neve Connell on The Score next Thursday night. For now, we're going to take another quick break. And you're welcome back to The Score, 13 minutes away from the top of the hour. Rory McIlroy is one shot off the lead of Mike Lorenz Vera on 8 under par following the opening round of the season-ending DP World Tour Championship. The world number 2 shot a near flawless round of 64. He's 2 shots clear of the Irish Open champion John Rahm. But Shane Lowry has plenty of work to do if he's to overhaul his Race to Dubai rivals after opening with a 1 over 73. And in local boxing, St Bridget's Boxing Club from Clonmany will host a tournament on Saturday night in Ballyliffin Golf Club. 14 quality contests down for decision there, featuring a number of Ulster and Irish champions, and the action gets underway at 8 o'clock. Well, last weekend, Donegal athlete Paddy Ward was presented with his medal after a wonderful performance at the recent Dublin City Marathon. Paddy, from Burton Port, who runs with Letterkenny AC, was first athlete home in the over 65 category. And his time was the second fastest marathon time ever by a runner from the Republic of Ireland. And Paddy joins us in studio this evening. Paddy, you're welcome to The Score. Have you recovered yet from your marathon exploits?
Yeah, I'm back in action again now. I'm after doing a few miles with Kieran O'Donnell there before I came up here, so feeling grand.
Yeah, no better man. I mean, you've got good buddies in Letterkenny AC, Paddy, and that all helps when you're training for an event like the marathon.
Yeah, great training buddies. They were a great help to me all the last 18 weeks when I was training. All of us had somebody to run with, and they were a great help. Without them, you wouldn't be able to do it, just simple as that.
Yeah. Well, your story, it's remarkable, really, Paddy. Tell us a wee bit about it. I mean, listen, not to go too personal here, but you're 66 years old. You ran a marathon in a time of 3 hours, 5 minutes and some odd seconds. I mean, that works out at about a 7 minute mile pace, is that right?
It's just over 7 minutes, 7 minutes and 3 seconds a mile.
Yeah.
So.
And tell me, I mean, what was your target going into Dublin this year? Did you have a time in the back of your mind?
Well, I thought, I was hoping, you know, if I got under 3:20, I'd be happy enough. But I was delighted with the time that I ran. I ran better than I thought, but.
Yeah, but a wee bit slower than the last time you ran a marathon, but we've got to put that into context.
Well, the last time it was 26 years, 36 years ago since the Derry City in Dublin.
Right.
That was 1982 and 83, and I ran 2:39 and 2:40.
Right.
Those times.
Okay, so you were a lot younger in those days, Paddy.
So I was a lot younger.
And at that stage of your career, you were based in Dublin?
I worked for at that time it was the Department of Posts and Telegraphs, and I was based in Dublin, and I ran for a club up there in County Meath, Dunboyne Athletic Club. So I was with them for about 4 years before we moved back home then. Myself and my father, we bought a fishing boat. So I came back to live in Burtonport and I'm there ever since.
So when you came back to Donegal, Paddy, is that when the running more or less took a back seat?
Once I left Dublin in 1985, the shoes never went back on until 2011, I think, when I joined Letterkenny.
And any reason for that, Paddy? Did you just lose the love of it or interest in it?
Well, with the fishing industry like that, we were at sea, you know, a lot. You'd go away maybe 3 or 4 in the morning, you wouldn't be back till 10 or 11 at night. So there wasn't really time for training and that.
Mm.
And I just kind of lost interest in it.
Right. But, I mean, it's never too late to take it up again. You're in great shape, physically in great shape. So I'm sure the fact that you had the running in the legs, as the man says, you know, you'd done it before. Did that make it a wee bit easier to come back?
It made it a bit easier. When I started back, I was very overweight. Since I've started back, this last, say, 9-10 years, I've lost 5.5 stone in weight. So I was in poor shape when I started back, but like I'm good enough shape now.
Right. And was this your first marathon then since you started back?
That's right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you built the foundations over that time?
I built the foundations this last, with the Letterkenny AC, and the help of them. And
right. And are you coming out from Burtonport to Letterkenny each
come
day?
Out most days to train. I'm kind of used to it now, so enjoy it, meeting up with the boys from the club, training partners and that, and I come out and enjoy it.
Yeah. And it's more than just the running, isn't it, Paddy, when you're with a club like Letterkenny Athletic Club and any athletic club in the county? I mean, it's all about, you know, the crack that you have with your fellow runners, and you can meet up away from the track and away from those runs, cup of tea here and there, and you get to know people.
That's right. It's a social sort of a thing as well. You meet people and have the crack and enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
No point doing it if you don't enjoy it.
Well, exactly. But listen, back then to when you came back up and you linked up with Letterkenny AC, I'm sure you knew a few of those guys from before. And
funny, I didn't really know many of them, but when I joined the club, I met up with Kevin Toner, who'd be very well known around Letterkenny, and Kevin he was training a group in the park there beside St Connell's, the town park. On a Tuesday and a Thursday, he had 2 sessions, so he took me under his wing there and started training there, and he brought me on great. So big thanks to Kevin for helping me along.
You know what? I was at a few of those sessions as well. I mean, Kevin's an inspiration, isn't he?
That's right.
Those sessions were great because you didn't really know what was going to be up ahead of you when you arrived.
That's right, when you arrived, and if you had to be there, if you were training with Kevin, if you were training at 5, you weren't a minute before, a minute after. If it was 5 and you did a right good proper session.
Mm.
That was it.
And away from the running then, strength and conditioning is also a key part of it.
Strength and conditioning. I was very prone to injury. I was getting injured all the time. And so I started going to Adam Spear at Spear Performance out at New Mills. And he brought me on great. Once I started going to him and kept up the training, I stopped getting injured all the time. And a few other people as well that helped me was Patrick McCarrigan, Fix You Physio. If you got a niggle, go to Patrick and he'd sort you out. And before the marathon then, I am fairly lean, but I wasn't lean enough, I felt. And I went to Neil Barrett here on the mountaintop at Fit Hub, and he did a nutrition plan for me and he got me down to the weight that I needed to be. So with all them people, and especially the people that I train with, they are like the medalists for all of them, as well as myself.
Okay. And there was a charity linked to it as well. We'll have a wee chat about that in a moment or two, but we've got to take another quick commercial break.